You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of the Locked On Clippers podcast. Today is Wednesday, February 7th, 2018, and I'm your host, Lucas Han. You can find me on Twitter at Lucas J. Han, and you can read my articles at ClipsNation.com, as well as follow along on Twitter at ClipsNationSBN. So we've got a packed show today because there's tons of stuff going on as we head towards tomorrow's NBA trade deadline, which is at 3 p.m. Eastern time. Today in this podcast, I just want to make sure that we can tackle the latest rumors surrounding DeAndre Jordan and the news of Lou Williams' reportedly agreed extension with the Clippers. So while the Blake Griffin trade proved that pretty much everyone on the roster is available in trade talks, we know that DJ and Lou are by far the most talked about players on the Clippers in the last couple of weeks heading into this deadline. So today on deadline eve, we're going to focus on them and save some non-trade deadline conversations like how the team has adjusted to newcomers Avery Bradley and Tobias Harris, how Danilo Gallinari has had this kind of productive return to health recently, a standings watching guide for the backstretch of the season, who we should be rooting for night in and night out as Clippers fans. We'll save that stuff for shows either later this week or next week. But today I want to get more into trade deadline stuff because it's trade deadline eve, one of the most exciting days of the NBA season. So we'll get to the Lou Williams extension at the end of the show. I will talk about it, but I think I want to get first into the DeAndre Jordan rumors because this is what is still very much in flux. The Lou stuff seems to be kind of settled. So overall, DeAndre Jordan, All-NBA center, been with the Clippers for a decade. We all love him very, very dearly. DeAndre's on an expiring contract. The Clippers do not want to give him the extension that he is looking for, which is big money over multiple years, which is a deal that I think it's fair to say from DeAndre's perspective he has earned. It's not like he's asking for anything unreasonable. The Clippers just feel like it doesn't coincide with their team-building goals as a front office, as an organization, moving forward. They don't want to commit big money to DeAndre for 4 or 5 years in the future when they aren't sure if he's going to be the key piece that they want him to be for that entire time span. And then they're not sure that for a guy like DeAndre, how tradable that contract is going to be. They knew when they gave Blake Griffin his big deal last summer that he would still be tradable because he's a high-end superstar. And they knew that, or they know that if they give Lou Williams the extension they're talking about right now, he will still be tradable because it's a fairly team-friendly deal at around $10 million or less a season. DeAndre Jordan, upwards of $20 million a season, not as team-friendly, not as much of a trade asset, could become a little bit harder to move if they need flexibility in the future. And the short-term upside of what DeAndre brings to a fringe playoff team that isn't really competing for a championship isn't worth it to them to just to jeopardize that long-term flexibility. So they're looking to trade DeAndre Jordan at this deadline, but you have to keep in mind, if they don't trade him, what happens? If you don't trade DeAndre Jordan at this deadline, then he basically goes into this summer with his player option. He can either opt into $24 million or opt out and become a free agent and try to seek a better deal on the open market. And with the NBA market being what it's going to be this summer, with not a lot of teams having cap space, I think it's very possible that he doesn't get more than $24 million starting salary. So it will be interesting to see if the Clippers don't trade DeAndre, if he opts into that last year of his deal, if he opts out and then ends up coming back to the Clippers, who have his bird rights, on a more expensive 1 year, you know, plus a team option deal or something like that. If the Clippers end up getting him at a price that they're a little more comfortable with, maybe down in like the 16 to 18 million range, or if someone else comes in and ponies up big cash for DeAndre. There's not a lot of money in the free agent market this summer. Not a lot of teams have tons of cap space. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But the reason it's important to keep that in mind, that that's what happens if you don't give DeAndre an extension or you don't trade him, is because basically in order for a trade offer to be worth it for the Clippers, it has to beat that. So you have to give the Clippers something that is better than the risk of DeAndre Jordan potentially opting out and entering free agency this summer. And frankly, some of the offers that teams have given to the Clippers are not better than that. I mean, we'll talk about the specific offers a little bit, but the teams that we know have expressed interest in DeAndre are Cleveland, Milwaukee, Portland, and Washington. So we'll talk a little bit about each of these teams in the next segment. But what's important to remember, again, is that these teams have to do something that beats the status quo of DeAndre walking in free agency. Otherwise, it just isn't worth it to the Clippers to make one of these trades. So next, I'm going to get into the options that the Clippers have in these trade talks with these four teams. But first, before we do that, I want to give a big shout out to all the fantastic work that's being done by my colleagues here at the Locked On Podcast Network heading into the trade deadline. So make sure you check out the Locked On shows for all of the teams that the Clippers are rumored to be involved with to get their local perspective. Fantasy basketball fans, listen up. If you love fantasy basketball, then you need to try my favorite app, Draft. It's daily fantasy basketball, but not like the other guys. On Draft, you play real-life snake drafts with other people, just like in your season-long league. Here's how it works. It's a draft that lasts for just one night, and there's no management. You just set your lineup and forget about it. Once you're done drafting, that's it. No trades, no waiver wire. Draft even takes care of last-minute injuries for you. Draft starts every couple of minutes, so you can join one right now, and the best part is that you get to play for cold, hard cash. Drafts start from just $1, so there's a game for everyone. There's no salary cap, and you play in a real live snake draft just like you would play with your friends in a season-long league. So come and join me on Draft today. You can download the app anytime. Just search Draft in your app store, and you can join the game within minutes. Or you can play right from your computer on draft.com, whichever is better for you. For a limited time only, all new players get a free entry into a draft when you make your first deposit. But you have to use my promo code LOCLIPPERS. That's right, play a real money game for free just by using my promo code LOCLIPPERS on your first deposit in Draft. So, again, before we move on to talking about the Lou Williams extension, I want to finish running through these DeAndre Jordan scenarios and offers. So the first team, easiest one to get out of the way, is Cleveland. Cleveland is a gigantic mess right now in the last year of LeBron's contract. They suck really badly all around. They're horrible. And they would like to make some deals at this deadline to put some pieces around LeBron to make a more competitive championship run this season. However, they don't really have much of value to trade aside from LeBron and Kevin Love, who they're not going to trade, and the 2018 first round pick of the Brooklyn Nets, which will probably be a top 10 pick, although in the bottom half of the top 10. And they're not willing to part with that because they know that LeBron is going to leave this summer, and that top 10 pick is going to be their building block going forward post-LeBron. So if Cleveland's not offering you the Brooklyn pick, then what really are they offering you? Well, what they reportedly offered the Clippers was Tristan Thompson, who has a gigantic three-year contract and is not a good basketball player. J.R. Smith, who has a gigantic three-year contract and is not a good basketball player, and Cleveland's own 2018 first-round pick. So Cleveland, even as bad as they have been lately, that pick is still going to be somewhere in the 20s. So you're taking maybe pick 24, 25 in exchange for eating two of the worst contracts in the NBA that are going to not only make sure that you don't have any flexibility in the summer of 2018, but also make sure that you don't have flexibility in the summer of 2019. They don't expire until the summer of 2020. So it's a horrible trade. It makes no sense. Like I said, a trade has to be better than the status quo of DJ walking for it to be worth the Clippers considering. And then once we get to that point, maybe there can be some kind of bidding war or whatever. But before the Clippers can even really think about something, it has to be better than DJ leaving. And quite frankly, I would rather lose DJ for nothing then take back Tristan's and JR's contract. Probably even if it meant getting the Brooklyn pick, I don't think it's necessarily worth it, but it's definitely not worth it for Cleveland's own pick. So Cleveland, unless they call with the Brooklyn pick and maybe something like Iman Shumpert, who only has a two-year contract, and Channing Frye, who is expiring this season, and the Brooklyn pick, then maybe the Clippers can talk. But without it, there's not really anything that Cleveland has to offer. Milwaukee is a team that has some pieces that could make for an intriguing deal with the Clippers, but it doesn't seem like they're sufficiently motivated to acquire DeAndre Jordan, especially because it would require them trading some of their young players to get a 30-game rental of DeAndre Jordan, where, remember, just as DeAndre could potentially leave the Clippers this summer, he could leave any new team this summer as well. So, yeah, the Clippers would love to get a guy like Chris Middleton from Milwaukee, but he's not available in DeAndre Jordan trade talks. They would love to get, you know, a guy like Malcolm Brogdon, maybe along with John Henson, who's Milwaukee's starting center that would who would replace DeAndre, but Milwaukee, you know, Malcolm Brogdon is one of their better perimeter players. He won Rookie of the Year recently. They're not necessarily interested in moving him. They would even, I think, be interested in a package that had Jabari Parker. But Jabari Parker was the second overall pick a couple years ago, and he's just recently coming off of a recovered torn ACL, and I don't think anyone really knows what his value is right now. So the Clippers aren't going to buy high on him, not knowing if he's going to get back to his former level of play. And the Bucks aren't going to sell low on him because he might still get back to his former level of play and become, you know, hopefully what they think when they draft him second overall, an all-star at some point in his career. So it's hard to find a workable deal with Milwaukee. I think probably what Milwaukee really offered the Clippers is closer to something like John Henson, who is a downgrade at center, but is a little bit younger than DJ, has a more reasonable multi-year deal, and Matthew Dellavedova, who has a bad contract. And I just don't think, again, that that's something that's better than the status quo for the Clippers. The teams that have a little bit more options are Portland and Washington. Portland has Yusuf Nurkic. I think Yusuf is how he pronounces his name. But they also don't really have ways to make the salaries work without giving the Clippers back a bad contract. Probably the most palatable deal would involve Maurice Harkless, who does have a 3-year deal in the $10 million range, but is still a decent rotation player, and Ed Davis, who's on an expiring contract, and Nurkic, and Portland also has a first-round draft pick this year, so there's ways for them to put enough value in the trade to make it worthwhile for the Clippers. The problem is, it probably isn't worthwhile for the Trailblazers. Portland has the worst cap sheet in the league. Neil O'Shea has given out all of these horrendous contracts, in addition to paying mega money for Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, who are both stars and worth it, but they're both making huge, huge contracts. He went out and gave ridiculously stupid deals to guys like Evan Turner and Mo Harkless and Myers Leonard, and it's just, they're like a luxury tax team fighting for the 8 seed, and they have been and they're going to be, and they really don't have any flexibility, and they kind of wasted Damian Lillard's, you know, the Damian Lillard window by putting all these horrible contracts around him. So, yeah, for them, getting DeAndre and then paying DeAndre is kind of a non-starter because their money situation is already so messed up, which is, you know, unfortunate because it's a situation where there maybe could be a deal if they hadn't done something stupid like give out the Evan Turner contract a couple of years ago. Then you're probably a lot closer to them being in a position to make a move for DeAndre. But that's just not the case with where they are right now. And then the last team, Washington, is the team that maybe has the most potential for a DeAndre Jordan trade. But again, Washington has to be sufficiently motivated to give up these pieces. So they have two big building blocks that they're going to build a package around from Washington's perspective. Either Marcin Gortat, who is their current starting center, who's making like $12 million this year and $13 million next year and then expiring, which is perfect. It's exactly what the Clippers would want, a stopgap veteran replacement center, starting caliber, to finish out this season, play next season, and then come off the books in the summer of 2019. On the other hand, DeAndre is a huge upgrade for Washington, making them a much better team going into this season's playoffs. In Mahinmi, their backup center, has a bigger deal than Gortat that runs for an extra season that is, again, getting back to one of the worst contracts in the NBA territory. I don't imagine the Clippers have any interest in any package that involves Ian Mahinmi. And then the Wizards also have Jason Smith expiring, I believe, at around $4 or $5 million, which helps make salaries match. Jason Smith might have one season left remaining on his contract after this one. But either way, it's a super palatable deal to absorb. I think he does have 1 year left after this season. And then they've got Kelly Oubre, who is a nice, young, exciting 22-year-old small forward who has a lot of value, and their own first-round pick in this year's draft. So they have the pieces to get a Clippers deal done. I expect that when they called and expressed interest, their interest was about trying to move the Mahinmi contract. And I don't think that anything else that they have to offer makes that worthwhile for the Clippers with how hesitant we know the Clippers are to take on long-term money. But I do think that if these teams reconvene before the deadline and work on a deal around Gortat, there's probably a compromise that can be found. If the Wizards call and offer Gortat, Jason Smith, and Washington's 2018 first-round pick, and the Clippers can get a solid cost-controlled downgrade at center and a first-round draft choice for DeAndre, it's something that they have to consider. It might still not be good enough. But if the Wizards offer Kelly Oubre, in any deal that doesn't involve Ian Mahinmi's contract and does involve Kelly Oubre is a winning deal for the Clippers, which means that the Wizards probably won't offer it because it would be a big risk kind of putting one of their best young players out on the table for a guy in DeAndre Jordan who, again, could leave after this season. So it's very, very difficult to get a deal to work. Right now, from what we can tell from everything that's out there, is that these teams, and possibly other teams as well, have reached out to the Clippers, but that talks really haven't progressed with any of them. Probably because all of them want, as some part of their package, the Clippers to take back a long-term bad contract, which the Clippers feel like is worse than proceeding under the status quo where they could just lose DeAndre. So we'll see, as we get closer to the deadline in the next 24 hours, if any of these teams come back with a more competitive offer that does not involve that long-term salary, and then the teams can hash it out over draft picks and prospects and you know what exactly is going to be the value once you get past the fact that the Clippers aren't willing to take a big contract. I think that of these four teams, Portland can probably make something work with Mo Harkless going to a third team, but that is complicated and hard to do in a short time span. I think that Milwaukee can probably make something work. I just don't know if they're sufficiently motivated to do so. Washington would have a very easy time making something work around Gortat and probably have the sufficient motivation to get a deal done with the John Wall, Bradley Beal, Otto Porter core trying to get a better big man in the building with them. So I think if it's going to happen, Washington is probably most likely. I expect that we will at least hear that there have been serious talks about DeAndre Jordan in the next 24 hours. Even if a deal doesn't get done, someone is going to call again with a little bit of a better offer, and the Clippers are going to engage with them. So now, to close out today's episode, we're going to get into the news surrounding sixth man extraordinaire Lou Williams. But first, I want to direct you guys to check out Monday's episode of Locked on Raptors, where I was on the show with Locked on Raptors host Sean Woodley participating in his Raptors Trivia Tournament, which is a 32-player contest where every single participant in the tournament is either a Raptors blogger or fan, except for me. So I went up against a Raptors blogcaster and a podcaster, and I actually won, and it was trivia questions only about the Toronto Raptors, so I was hoping I would be able to get like 1 point, and then I actually ended up winning. But it's a fun tournament. It was a fun episode to record, so make sure you go check it out, and let me know also, once you've listened to it, if you'd like me to do something similar with Locked on Clippers, maybe put together a trivia tournament with some Clippers bloggers and media people that I know, as well as some of you guys, the listeners. So go check out Locked on Raptors, the trivia episodes, and if you only want to hear my matchup, then you can listen to this week's episode. It's the second round of trivia matchups, and skip to around the 55-minute mark because that's when my segment begins. So to close out today's episode, we're going to talk about this Lou Williams extension because it came out late Tuesday night that the Clippers and Lou Williams had made serious ground on getting an extension. And we know that they had been talking, at least in touch with each other, about an extension for the last couple weeks, but that nothing was imminent because the Clippers were still going to be weighing their options ahead of the trade deadline. So the fact that they made serious ground, to me, didn't really mean much because I feel like they were already close on an extension. If the Clippers weren't going to trade Lou Williams, they knew what the deal was going to be, pretty much, because there's some limitations on what you can offer players in a contract extension in the NBA. And one of those limitations is that the starting salary in the first year of the extension can't be more than either 120% of the player's previous salary or 120% of the league average contract. Now, Lou Williams only makes $7 million right now, only. And because of the huge cap inflation, that is actually a little bit below the league average contract, which is closer to eight, a tick below eight. I don't know the exact figure, but basically 120% of around that guesstimate, putting you and then you give him 8% raises, which is the max you can give with bird rights, and you're looking at a maximum extension of 4 years and around $42 million. Now, I have fans all the time in my Twitter mentions asking, is Lou Williams going to get $15 million, $18 million, $20 million a year? Is it going to be worth keeping him at that price? So if people out there really have these inflated view of what Lou Williams is worth, I think we can all safely agree that when the Clippers and Lou Williams camp sat down to talk an extension and they knew that the maximum he could get was 4 years and $42 million, they were going to be talking in about that price range. There wasn't going to be, you know, there wasn't like the Clippers wanted to start at 12 and Lou Williams wanted to start at 18, because 12 isn't even an option. So it's more of, are you going to give him the max 442, or is he, you know, maybe the Clippers came in at something like $324, $8 million a year, and then Lou Williams wanted the 442. But either way, the nature of the limitations on extensions in the NBA kind of guarantees that these two parties started out very close in the extension. There's just not a lot of room. Now, the report that we get on Wednesday is that the framework of the deal that has been agreed to is a three-year contract with a team option in the third year. So basically, the Clippers have Lou Williams under contract for the 2018-19 season and 2019-20 season, and then an option for the 2021 season. We don't know yet if it's a pure team option or a non-guaranteed third year or a partially guaranteed third year. And if you don't know what any of that means, then don't worry. We'll deal with all of that when we get closer to the summer and start talking about free agency and all of that. But so basically with where the Clippers are with Lou Williams is they have this deal agreed to in principle. We don't know the exact dollar signs yet, but it is 3 years, which we'll pay him a maximum of somewhere between $30 and $31 million, but could be a little bit less depending on how effectively the Clippers negotiated, knowing that Lou Williams probably wasn't going to get more than the mid-level exception in free agency this summer. Maybe it's a three-year deal valued at the mid-level exception, which would start off the top of my head somewhere around $8.5-$8.6 million. So it could be something that pays Lou Williams more like $26 to $28 million over 3 years, or it could be the maximum that he could get, $30.5 million over 3 years. We'll see those details as they come out. But, you know, a lot of people are really interested in the thought process behind this move for the Clippers, because it is a little bit counterintuitive for a team that just traded Blake Griffin and is trying to get younger and is trying to retool and rebuild. It's a little bit counterintuitive that they would take this guy, very valuable trade asset, you know, by conventional wisdom, although of course none of us are in the room and know what calls are actually coming in, but by conventional wisdom, this is a guy who we would think would have a lot of trade value right now. He's been a huge contributor this season. He has an expiring $7 million deal. Playoff teams should be lining up to try and come and get him. So it seems like a team like the Clippers that moved Blake Griffin a week ago and are trying to retool and rebuild for the next era should trade this guy who's on the wrong side of 30 to get younger, get a draft pick, get whatever. They didn't do that. We don't know why, but it seems to me that the Clippers dangled Lou Williams out there almost all the way up until the deadline, did not get an offer that they liked. I think that any team that was willing to give the Clippers a first-round pick for Lou Williams wanted to send them a bad contract for salary matching as well. So I think they probably had an offer from a team like Denver that may have looked like Kenneth Faried and Denver's 2018 first-round pick for Lou Williams and Wesley Johnson, which makes salaries work. The Clippers don't want to pay Kenneth Faried $13 million next season. It's not worth the 20th overall pick from Denver to them, especially when it means losing Lou Williams, who's a guy that they like. And as we talked about earlier, in order for a DeAndre Jordan offer to be compelling, it has to beat the status quo, which is DeAndre Jordan potentially leaving in free agency. If you know that you have, if you feel like you can get a contract extension done with Lou Williams, then in order for a trade offer to be compelling for Lou, it doesn't have to just be better than Lou Williams leaving in free agency, because Fareed and a pick might be better than that. It has to be better than keeping Lou Williams and what you might be able to get for him in a draft day trade, in a free agency trade, in a trade at the next deadline, in a trade at the next draft and the next free agency and the next deadline, because that's the deal that they got him on. And it's such a team-friendly deal because of the third year, you know, team option or partial guarantee, where they basically get him as a double expiring. So, first of all, they can move him this offseason or next trade deadline, and teams, instead of feeling like they're getting a rental of Lou Williams, get a year and a half or 2 years of him. After that, the Clippers can move him, and his, you know, the team option or non-guarantee goes with him. So if the Clippers decide to trade him not at the 2019 trade deadline, but rather at the 2020 trade deadline, then whatever team that gets Lou Williams will get him for the last 30 games of 2020, and then also be able to decide if they want to keep him for the 2020-2021 season at roughly the same rate. So it's a very team-friendly deal. It's a way for them to look at the trade market right now, feel like they weren't getting what they wanted, and hold on to a guy who should have trade value for the next couple of years at a very tradable contract, which is something that they don't feel like they can do for DeAndre Jordan. Teams like DeAndre Jordan. DeAndre Jordan's a good basketball player. But the Clippers feel like if they give him a big four-year contract that exceeds $100 million in value, that contract is going to be very hard to move, even though teams like DeAndre. We see this all the time. Players that are good can still be on contracts that aren't trade assets. Lou Williams, this is a very team-friendly deal. It is a very tradable deal. This contract has a lot of trade value in the same way that a contract for a guy like Patrick Beverley, who the Clippers got from Houston for Chris Paul, that contract adds value to Beverley as a player, because even though he's entering the last season of it now, so it's a little bit less relevant, it was originally a four-year deal with the last 2 years not guaranteed. So it's basically double team option at $5 million for a starting caliber player. The contract adds value to Patrick Beverley that goes beyond what he brings to you on the court, which is already a lot. The same thing goes for a guy like Jay Crowder, who has dropped off in Cleveland a bit this year, so his value has diminished, but in Boston, Jay Crowder had a lot of value because he was seen as a starting caliber small forward, not a superstar, but a solid starting caliber small forward who had a multi-year contract at $6 or $7 million. That actually increased his value over what it would be if he was fairly priced. The same thing goes for Lou Williams here. Because the Clippers have him at this very solid rate and the structure of the deal, 2+1, is very team-friendly, they have many, many options going forward to move him. I'll give one word of caution before I end this episode, which I'm about to do. We got the report that the Clippers were talking about an extension. This drives up Lou Williams' value in the trade market. It might make some teams go, oh, well, if the Clippers have that leverage, then never mind, because we're not going to pay what they want for Lou Williams if they're not scared that they're going to lose him, right? If once the status quo improves, the bar that your offer has to beat improves, and some teams might go, well, we're not willing to go above that bar to get Lou Williams. When the Clippers leak that they have the agreement on an extension, then again, it raises that bar a little bit. Teams can see what, you know, exactly what's going on, or at least what the Clippers want them to think is going on. I believe that if Lou Williams is on the team at 3 p.m. Eastern time on Thursday, he will sign this extension. I think it makes sense for everyone involved. But the fact of the matter is, right now, we have a report that the two sides have reached an agreement, but we don't have even specific details on what the value of the contract is in terms of money. And we don't have a press release or announcement from the team that they have signed him, which means that they have not signed him yet. And with the trade deadline not coming for 24 hours, that means that if he has not been signed yet, he can still be traded. Things change very quickly in a matter of hours heading into the NBA trade deadline. So until the Clippers issue a press release that he has signed this extension, I am still considering Lou Williams very much on the trade market, and I'm considering the leaks around this extension as something that has raised his trade value. The Clippers obviously did not get an offer that they felt was good value for Lou Williams. They did not get a good deal in any trade talks. And so they said, well, then we'll just keep him if we're not going to get a good deal. But leaking in the days leading up to the trade deadline that you are going to keep Lou Williams if you do not get a good deal is one tactic towards soliciting a good deal for Lou Williams. We'll see if that good deal emerges in the next 24 hours and they end up biting instead of going through with this contract extension. I think it's very plausible, by the way, that Lou Williams is in on this, that he knows, the Clippers have told him, if we don't get X offer for you by the deadline, we will give you this extension. And then they talked about what the extension was and reached that agreement. But if we do get X offer, we're going to trade you. And, you know, sorry, Lou Williams understands he's been traded before. It's a business. But I think that's probably where they are right now. Until I get the press release that a deal has been signed, I'm not taking for granted that Lou Williams is suddenly no longer available in trade talks. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens in the next 24 hours. I do think it's more likely than not that if an offer that was good enough for the Clippers didn't emerge in the last couple of weeks, it's not going to come in the next 24 hours. But it will be very interesting to see what happens with both Lou Williams and DeAndre Jordan and some other guys. Avery Bradley has been in talks a little bit. Oklahoma City's interested there just very quickly, but Oklahoma City doesn't have a ton to offer. They don't have a first-round draft pick this year. They don't have expiring contracts. Their only real intriguing young prospect is Terrence Ferguson, and they're not giving him up for rental of Avery Bradley. So unless you want like Alex Abrines, Nick Collison, and two bad second-round picks, I don't think Oklahoma City really has much to offer in terms of trying to pursue Avery Bradley. We'll see if other teams come calling for Avery Bradley in the next 24 hours, but that's the only interest that seems to be out there at the moment that at least we've heard of. So we will be back tomorrow morning, Thursday morning, with a new episode of the Locked On Clippers podcast talking about whatever rumors come out of Wednesday night, which there are guaranteed to be tons of stuff floating around. Maybe we'll look a little bit around the league. There was a trade between the Knicks and Charlotte, a minor thing with Willie Hernan Gomez that I didn't get a chance to talk about today. So maybe we'll look around the league and see some of the rumors and chatter that's happening there heading into Thursday's deadline. And then after the deadline on Thursday, if the Clippers make a move, we might have another podcast Thursday afternoon reacting to that move. Otherwise, we'll reconvene on Friday to talk about what happened around the NBA and get ready for life after the trade deadline heading into the All-Star break and the last 25-30 games of the season. So that's going to do it for today's episode of the Locked On Clippers podcast. Once again, my name is Lucas Han. If you have any comments, questions, or feedback, you can follow on Twitter at Lucas J. Han. You can read my work on my website at clipsnation.com, as well as follow on Twitter there at clipsnationsbn. Thank you for listening, guys.